वृंदावनचारे जैया राधा मदावा कुंज बिहारी जैया राधा मदावा कुंज बिहारी कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज कचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमाधि सेवा इंग्रेज ऐसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज कचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमाधि सेवा इंग्रेज भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की ISKCON founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki Grantarashimam Bhagavatam ki Ditae Gura Premanandi. O glories to the assembled devotees, O glories to the assembled devotees, O glories to the assembled devotees, O glories to Shishi Guru and Shigauranga. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam canto 9 entitled Liberation chapter 18 entitled Kinjayati Regains His Youth, text number 22. Jat idam kupamaknaya bhavato darshanam mama na brahmano na bhavita Hastagraho Mahabhuja Kaschasya Barhapatyasya Something got erased, no? Shapadjan Ashapampura You got it? Yat idam kupamaknaya bhavato darshanam mama na brahmano na bhavita hashtagraho mahabhuja kachasya barhapatyasya Shapat jan ashapam pura Jat idam kupamaknaya Bhavato darshanam mama Na brahmano me pavita Hastagraho mahabhuja Kachasya barhapatyasya Shapadjam ashapam pura Please chant Jat idam kupamaknaya Vato marshanam mama na brahmano me bhavita astagraho mahabhuja astasya barhapatyasya shapajam ashapam pura yat idam kupamagnaya bhavato darshanam mama na brahmano me bhavita hastagraho mahabhuja kaschasya barhapatyasya asaram pura jat idam kupamaknaya bhavato darshanam mama na brahmano me bhavita hastagraho mahabhuja kaschasya varhapatyasya shapatyam ashapam pura yat because of idam this kupamaknayaha fallen into the well babataha of your good self darshanam meeting mama with me na not brahmanaha a qualified brahmana me my bhavita will become hastagraha husband mahabhuja O great mighty arm one kachasya of kacha barhapatyasya the son of the learned brahmana and celestial priest Brihaspati sapat because of the curse yam whom ashapam I curse pura in the past Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Because of falling into the well, in the well, I met you. Indeed, this has been arranged by Providence. After I cursed Kacha, the son of the learned scholar Brihaspati, he cursed me by saying that I would not have a brahmana for a husband. Therefore, O mighty armed one, there is no possibility of my becoming the wife of a brahmana. Purport. Kacha, the son of the learned celestial priest Brihaspati, has been a student of Sukracharya, from whom he had learned the art of reviving a man who has died untimely. This art, called Mrita Sanjivani, was especially used during wartime. When there was a war, soldiers would certainly die untimely. But if a soldier's body was intact, he could be brought to life again by this art of Mrita Sanjivani. This art was known to Shukracharya and many others. And Kacha, the son of Brihaspati, became Sukracharya's student to learn it. Devayani, desired to have Kacha as her husband, but Kacha, out of regard for Sruka Acharya, looked upon the guru's daughter as a respectable superior and therefore refused to marry her. Devayani angrily cursed Kacha by saying that although he has learned the art of Mrita Sanjivani from her father, it would be useless. When cursed in this way, Kacha retaliated by cursing Devayani never to have a husband who was a Brahmana. Because Devayani, like Jayati, who was a Kshatriya, she requested him to accept her as his bona fide wife, although this will be a pratiloma vivaha, a marriage between the daughter of a high family and the son of a lower family. She explained that this arrangement was made by providence. Yat idam kupamaknaya bhavato darshanam mama nambaramano me bhavita hasta graho mahabuja kachasya barhapatyasya shapat jam ashapampura. Because of falling in the well, I met you. Indeed, this has been arranged by providence. After I cursed Kacha, the son of the learned scholar Brihaspati, he cursed me by saying that I will not have a Brahmana for a husband. Therefore, Almighty Armed One, there is no possibility of my becoming the wife of a Brahmana. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksuru Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Om Vishupadaya Krishna Prasaya Vutale Shrimate Romapada Swami Iti Namine. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasaya Buddhale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhyaiva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. In the Mahabharata, the story of Kacha and Devayani is told. I believe it was in a conversation of Maharaj Yudhisthira and Bhishmadev, but I'm not 100% sure. But it's narrated in the Mahabharata. And the story goes like this. And we have hints. Prabhupada gave us an entrance to that. We got to know from Srila Prabhupada's purport and the Srimad Bhagavatam narration that Sruka Acharya, he was the high priest or the guru, the preceptor of the deities or the demons. And we know of the eternal conflict or struggle of power that is there between the devatas and the deities, the demons, the demigods and the demons. And because of the character of the demigods, they always have the upper hand in this struggle. However, because of the presence of Sukra Acharya, the demons gain this advantage. And the advantage was that Sukra Acharya, when he became the high priest of the demons, Sukra Acharya knew this knowledge called Mrita Sanjivani, which is he was able to bring to life the soldiers who die in battle. So obviously the demons became very confident because they lose the fear for death.
it was not going to be the end for them. So they fought even with much more abandon, because they understood they're going to be back to life. And this created a big, big trouble in for the devatas. And it was an advantage for the demons. So the devatas approached Brihaspati for a solution. Brihaspati was the high priest of the devatas. And we have to do something about this, because they're losing, you know, the battle. And in fact, we hear previously in the narrations of the Bhagavatam during the story of Bali Maharaj, that indeed, you know, although Bali Maharaj and the army of the Daitas were fully defeated by Indra and the demigods, Bali Maharaj and the generals were brought to life by Shukracharya and became even more powerful. And then Bali Maharaj was able to defeat Indra. And actually, they became so powerful that they were recommended not even to fight, just to go through the back door and just escape, and just give the kingdom of heaven to Bali Maharaj without a fight. So they wanted a solution, and Brihaspati recommended that his son Kacha were sent to Shukracharya to become his disciple and learn this mantra, learn this art. They knew Shukracharya was very powerful, but he has a weakness. And the weakness was the love for his daughter, only daughter. He only had one daughter, Devayani. They came out of the union of Shukracharya, married the daughter of Indra. And it didn't explain, and wasn't able to find the reason why his wife was not there anymore. I mean, it was implied that she died, but I'm not sure. But regardless of the case, it was only Shukracharya and his daughter, Devayani. And he had great love and attachment for the daughter. So the recommendation to Kacha was, give satisfaction, or connect, you know, in some way to give satisfaction to the daughter, Devayani. And in this way also be connected to the father, Shukracharya, and approach like that. So Kacha agreed, and obediently he approached Shukracharya, requesting him to take him as a disciple. And Shukracharya asked, "Who are you?" And then he said, "I'm the son of Brihaspati, the priest of the demigods, but I pledge myself to become your sincere and humble disciple and serve you as a disciple, and until my education is completely finished." Shukracharya can recognize the qualification of Kacha, and he accepted him. And Kacha was not only qualified by character, but he also was very, very handsome, and, you know, in the peak of his strength and, you know, life like that.
So he served Shukracharya and started to connect with Devayani.
Devayani was the was also extremely qualified and extremely beautiful. And immediately their attraction started to happen, both from both sides. So it is explained that this was one of those love stories that didn't have any sort of result. How you say, it's like a tragic love story. And so they started to become very much attached to each other, and Kacha used to bring flowers for her, etc., etc. The whole, you know, courtship, you know, like that. And they developed this love for each other. And the demons, they understood when they found out that the son of Brihaspati, who is the priest of their enemies, so one of our enemies is with Shukracharya, and we definitely suspect there's something strange here. They come for a purpose, and the purpose is to learn this advantage that we have, the mantra that Shukracharya knows, the knowledge of Shukracharya. And therefore, we have to get rid of this guy. So they plot to kill him. And they did that several times. In the Mahabharata, at least the version that I was researching, Prabhupada says here that the Mrita Sanjeevani was used as long as the body was intact, you know. And then we hear that in the narration of the Bhagavatam, that during the brought back to life of Bali Maharaj was because his body was intact. But the bodies that were severed, that were not intact, they couldn't bring to life. So the Bhagavatam is very consistent on that, and Prabhupada also. But in the Mahabharata, the narration of how Kacha was brought back to life, it differs, you know. So one of those, you know, same with the Ramayana and the Bhagavatam and things like that. Like His Holiness Rupa Swami remind us, you know, he brought that point that Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan uses this term, that there is the explanation that these pastimes are eternal and they happen in different kalpas. So the so-called contradictions are not necessarily contradictions, it's just variations that happens in different times. But the principles remain the same. So in this narration of the Mahabharata, explained that Kacha got killed 3 times. And each time he was brought back to life. The first time, his body was severed. And then Shukracharya brought him back because he also was obliged to the attachment that his daughter. The daughter was very unhappy when she found out that he was killed. So he brought back to life. Then the demons plotted again and caught him. And this time they ground his body, ground it into a paste and throw it in the ocean. And Shukracharya brought him back to life. And they didn't, you know, the demons say, well, this time We're gonna kill him. So they kill him. Third time, burn his body to ashes, mix the ashes into some sort of a wine. Apparently, Sukracharya would drink some beverage that was, you know, wine type. According to this narration of the Mahabharata. So they mix it with this drink and offer to Sukracharya, and Sukracharya drank it. And then find out that actually that was the remnants of the body of Kacha. And then a similar thing, he brought it back to life. But now Kacha was inside his stomach. So the second step to bring him back will mean that Sukracharya have to give up his body because he have to come out of his stomach. So he have to rip to his Sukracharya's body to come out. So it was a dilemma. But Devayani was very unhappy. Sukracharya obliged and say, okay, I have a solution. I will teach Kacha this Mrita Sanjeevani. So when he comes out, and he will bring me back to life. So it went like that. Kacha came out of the stomach of Sukracharya and then brought Sukracharya back to life by the help of the mantra. And so he finished his education, his purpose was achieved, and he requested Sukracharya for his blessings and permission to go back to his people. And Sukracharya consented, but Devayani, she approached Kacha and say, please marry me. You know, and let's consummate our love. And at this time, Kacha responded, although he did have a sincere attraction and love for Devayani, now he declined because Prabhupada explained here that he saw her as the daughter of his spiritual master. And right, Prabhupada explained that he saw her as someone who was superior to, you know, to be respected. In the narration of the Mahabharata explained that he answered, you're my sister. You're the daughter of my spiritual master. The spiritual master is like my father. So you're like my sister. Not only that, but actually we both came from the body of Sukracharya. You know, I actually came out of his belly. So we're brother and sister. So it's not right for us to marry. And he also have an obligation to his people. So Devayani, she became extremely angry. And in this burst of anger, she cursed him. She cursed him that he won't be able to use this, the mantra will be useless. He won't be able, even though he knows it, he knows the knowledge, when he call upon the mantra, it won't have any effect. So Kacha, very qualified brahmana, in a very calm and polite way, he accepted the curse. And he said that because of her character and her reactions, the propensity that she have for anger and this passionate, you know, displays of anger. That part of the quality that she has is not suitable for a brahmana. So because of that, he cursed her that she can have a brahmana or a sadhu for a husband. And that he accept the curse, and he understand that although he won't be able to use it, he can still teach it to others. So still the purpose was achieved. And that is that's what happened, you know, in this situation. Now I have a little more time, and one thing that is very fascinating and interesting, it's always it brings, you know, this question that has been dealt in many instances, you know, in the scriptures. The question of the connection that is there between destiny and actions and work. And, you know, we can understand very clear how our actions determine our destiny. You know, we know by the law of karma, as we act, then there is a result of our actions that would determine within a frame of time a certain amount of suffering, certain amount of happiness according to what we do. So we can understand how our actions determine our destiny. But something more difficult to understand is how our destiny is connected to our actions. Because that brings a question that then, where is the free will? If we're destined to act certain way, if we're destined to have this particular result, then, you know, what is the question of acting? You just wait for the results. So it's not a very simple thing to understand how destiny lead to how we act. King Satyavrata asked this question to Lord Matsya. And Lord Matsya responded by giving an analogy. He said, just like there are three things that are intertwined and they're very much connected, which is action, destiny, and time. And these three things, pretty much connected, determines the results or the circumstances that we have to live and the circumstances that the future circumstances do. So Lord Matsya explains that it's just like this, that when you farming, there is the planting, the process of planting the seeds. There is the rain, and there is a time. So, if we plant But it doesn't rain, then there is no crop, there is no result. If we don't plan and it rains, it's equally not result. So these three things have to be there. So the planting is like our actions, it's what we do. The rain is like the destiny. And time is what unifies both of them. So according to the particular actions, there's a and the destiny like that, and what is destined according to our past deeds, then in a particular time, some things comes out, something, depending on time, it depends on the particular action that we made. For example, it is explained that there are certain actions that have immediate reaction. I come and punch someone in the face, there's an immediate reaction. The person will turn back and punch me in the face. The example of Devayani and Sharmishta. Insult, insult, insult. She goes back, Sharmishta goes, insult, and push her in a well. So there's an immediate reaction. There's other things that are not immediate, but they may take time to come out. Maybe even lifetimes to come out. So Srila Rupa Goswami has a term for that. What was the term? Paratha and aparatha, right? Paratha and aparatha. Paratha means, you know, that there's reactions that comes immediately, and aparatha, reactions that come much later. So destiny is there, and destiny is explained that simply creates the circumstances in which we're going to act. And the example that the acharyas gives is destiny give us like the field of action, the space. So like when a bull is tied by a rope into a pole, the bull can walk and move and freely within the space of that rope, but up to certain limit. When the rope extends completely, then that's it. It cannot go further than that. So we have within the space of our destiny, we have certain space to act. According to how we act within that space would determine our next destiny. So according to how we react to our to the things that are destined to us, according to how we deal with them, it would determine how we go into what kind of destiny we have in the future. So we may decide that, you know, in this circumstance, I don't care. Why should I work? I don't work. I don't do my duty. I neglect my duties because anyway, things are predestined, you know, this is what I'm supposed to get. Why should I do anything? But that will also create a future reaction, the reaction of neglecting your duties. So, or we may react in such a way that we start to blame God, blame everybody, blame this and blame that, and be, you know, full of resentment and anger. And that will create certain reactions. Or we'll simply, you know, gracefully accept it and go on with, you know, doing our duties. you know, according to religious principles, that also will create certain reactions. So according to how we react, according how we act in the circumstances that are destined for us, predestined, is a very important thing. And as devotees, we know in the scriptures, there are two ways of changing our karma. It's two ways of affecting the circumstances that are predestined for us. No, I'm sorry. There's two ways to deal with the reactions of our actions. Not with what's predestined. What is predestined is there. But the way we react and that will create certain actions, certain reactions, there's two ways of dealing with that to be able to counteract. Srila Rupa Goswami says, prayaschitta and devotional service, bhakti. Prayaschitta or atonement is recommended in the scriptures to counteract the reactions of our actions. But as per Srila Rupa Goswami, we know that it's not a very intelligent thing to do because it's only deal with the external. It cleanses you of the reaction, but not of the propensity. Bhakti takes care of both, of the reactions and the propensity. So as devotees, we do that. We gracefully accept the quota that is given to us. We accept it as Krishna has provided the situation. It's a situation that is predetermined by the things that we did in the past, and this is our quota, this is our lot. And we act with gratitude and with a gratefulness within that space, and dedicate ourselves in devotional service to cleanse ourselves of the propensities that are there that led to the circumstances in which we are. So anyway, it's a much more deeper theme, this whole thing of destiny and action, but you know, touching a little bit. Any comments or questions?
Yes, sir.
No. Yeah.
In the purport, there is a word, pratilomi.
Pratilomi.
And regarding to that, there is also anulomi. Another word is anulomi. If the girl come from higher family, class of family, and the husband is from lower class, then that is called anulomi. That's called alunami. And but also it is mentioned in Chanakya, Pandit says that if the girl is very highly qualified, suppose he's qualified in devotional service and everything, then can be picked up from the lower class, can be in for marriage.
This is the example. Actually, it's the contrary. Pratiloma is when the girl is higher and the husband is lower. And aniloma, that's the other one that you say? Anuloma is when the husband is higher and the girl is lower. So the pratiloma is the one that is not appropriate, that is condemned. And the other one is, it works, it's accepted. But in this case, it worked. You know, it worked because it was accepted that it was predestined. It was something that was predestined. It was all, you know, arranged. The girl was cursed. She has certain qualities that have, you know, are more, you know, by guna and by karma. The guna that she has is just she, you know, she have these fiery, angry responses, you know, and this passionate thing, which was more, it was not suitable for a brahmana. That's why she got cursed by Kacha. You know, her guna was not a suitable guna for brahmana, so you wouldn't be able to marry a brahmana. You know, so she married a kshatriya. Kshatriyas are, you know, more like that, you know. So in one, you know, it was accepted like that. In other cases, it may be a big disaster, you know, in general. So that's why it's condemned. When the husband is very qualified, then that one is also accepted if it's a higher caste, you know. So I can't remember immediately an example of that, but that works. But I mean, Bhima and Mary, the mother of Ghatukach, what was her name? Hidimbi? Hidimbi, you know? She was a demon, you know, and Bhima married her. So, and then the result was this great demon devotee, you know, Ghatukach. So, that right?
All right, Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. Hopefully you can hear me, it's pretty loud. But my comment and question is related to the fact that you were mentioning that there are two kinds of reactions. Some are obvious, gross if you touch fire, and some are not so obvious. So one point that I always like to keep in mind is that a circus trainer never has to tell the animal how to be a wild animal. You said we're destined to act a certain way. And so we can see in this material world, we're all under the mold, so we're destined to act like kind of like wild animals in lust.
I have to do it a little slower because okay. I can.
We're all destined to act like wild animals, essentially, because we're under the molds in lust, anger, greed, naturally. And the spiritual master is supposed to keep us disciplined. That's what the meaning of disciple means. So my question is related to this point is that although we may be disciplined externally, one thing I appreciate what Bhakti Siddhanta said is that he says in his article entitled Sri Guru Tattva and Seva, he says that real humility is never found in an external show of humility, which is actually mere duplicity. So a lot of times when we think negative thoughts about others or devotees, sometimes we may think it's not that big of a deal. Nobody hears it, nobody sees it. But one quote I appreciated from Buddha, he said, "Let no man think lightly of evil, saying in his heart, it will not come upon me. Even by the falling of water drops, a water pot is filled. The fool becomes full of evil, even if he gathers little by little." And there's also another quote that says, "Every drop does not think it's responsible for the flood, every individual." So it seems like a small thing or a spark is responsible for a forest fire. So how do we take this very seriously, that our thoughts, you know, one thought here, it may not be a big deal, but when you accumulate them, then we wonder all of a sudden why don't we have any ruchi for Krishna consciousness. So what are some steps we could do to take this seriously of, you know, disciplining our thoughts and not just putting it on show for others, like when a spiritual master comes or some authority comes, because that's the tendency usually. So maybe you could elaborate on that point.
Well, it's what we sign up for doing, right? is what we sign up when we come to Krishna consciousness. Is we sign up to become, to overcome our condition and to become Krishna conscious. So we have to, you know, when we come to understand the seriousness, then we have to act accordingly. So we have to become better. We have to control our propensities, and the whole process of Krishna consciousness directed, you know, by the spiritual master and by Krishna himself within the heart, is to help us navigate, you know, and evolve from being completely controlled by our propensities to actually become free. So one of them is that you know, we maintain things that are not necessarily helpful, like, you know, some if we allowed some animosity towards, you know, circumstances and others to be with us constantly like that, or part of us, we know that that's an obstacle. And in general, you know, what's inside our mind comes out in some way or another. And, you know, it becomes, the whole thing of the mind is, you know, feeling, thinking, and willing. So, you know, start with thinking, then you start to will, then, you know, so it becomes manifested. So we have to control, we have to change. And the formulas is given, you know, or what we're looking to become, or the qualities that we look to develop that counteracts all the stuff, is given to us. Lord Chaitanya, Trinarapi Sunichinata Rorapi Shahishuna. If we can master those four things, then we can chant the holy name, and we can chant the holy name constantly, we're done. It's great. You know, we're finished. Then, you know, Cheto Darpana Marjanana, all the way to Sarvatma Snapanam, everything becomes, you know, manifested fully. So we have to endeavor, you know, seriously. And it's a gradual process. It's a process of becoming mature and more mature. And as you become more mature, you become more focused. So that's how it works. Yeah. All right. Anything else? Okay. Thank you so much. Karantarashiman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.